Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, flying a little solo on this Wednesday afternoon, but got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. If you would like to share a tangent, Evan, how you doing today?
Oh, so good. So good.
Is that a sarcastic so
never,
good?
Never, man.
Okay.
No.
Never. We'll really appreciate you, E, on the board, lightly screening those phone calls. Again, the number to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM in Waukesha, on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, around the state, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, and WGBW in Green Bay. Welcome to the big show on this Wednesday afternoon. Later this evening, Governor Tony Evers is going to be giving his annual, biannual budget address, what priorities he has that he would like to see implemented in this upcoming two-year budget. Giving that address, we'll talk about a few of the provisions that will be included in that address from remarks that have been released ahead of the speech. We'll get into that. We'll also be joined at 2:30 by Becky Cooper, owner of Bounce Milwaukee. She is a member, as owner of Bounce Milwaukee, a member of the leadership team for Main Street Alliance. They had a day of action earlier this week on Monday. So Becky going to be joining the show at 2:30 to discuss what small businesses are doing in organizing with Main Street Alliance and what policy objectives they were seeking throughout that day of action. So that conversation coming up at 2:30. But again, the phone lines are open between now and then, 844-967-2789. And Evan, before we get to the potential things that were going to be in the budget address, I think Evers' policy proposals he is looking to seek for the kicking off of his second term, something flagged right before as I was preparing for the show. 2 o'clock comes up pretty quick, but there's also a lot of news that drops in the 1 o'clock hour, and today was no exception for that. And it got me thinking, is this political trickery or is this politics as usual? And
what's the difference?
That's my point.
That's what I
said. Because this headline says that it's a dirty trick, but I believe this is kind of one of those. It's an older page out of the political playbook, but it's allowable because of rule changes here in Wisconsin, because we've gotten pretty lenient and who can get involved in politics. And the creation is, as we joked about, with Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Brian and I like to joke about it all the time, but there's these organizations set up with very abstract names that make it sound like it's an organization, but sometimes it's hard to find out who's behind these organizations. And this piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel kind of leads into that. It leads into the ambiguity behind how some groups name themselves and then get involved with political elections here in the state of Wisconsin. The headline, "This political dirty trick has a Wisconsin nonprofit unwillingly involved in the Supreme Court race." Piece written up by Corinne Hess over at the Journal Sentinel. And reading from the piece, a campaign flyer attacking candidate Jennifer Doro for her decisions and statements made in her current role as a Waukesha County judge says it's paid for by, quote, Safe Families Wisconsin. Corinne Hess goes on and says, "There is no Safe Families Wisconsin, but there's a Safe Families for Children Wisconsin that happens to have an email address of safefamilieswi.org. The physical address listed on the flyer for Safe Families Wisconsin is 1953 North Claiborne Ave in Chicago. That is a UPS store.
It's too much, man. It's too much.
So they took this name that is close to an organization that does operate here in Wisconsin, and it's a very ambiguous sounding name, and they slapped it on a flyer, and that flyer is based out of a UPS store, apparently, in Chicago. And so this organization, or somebody using this organization's name as a front, is sending out flyers attacking Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Dorob ahead of next Tuesday's spring primary election. February 21st, Wisconsinites are already going to the polls. Early voting, in-person absentee voting had begun last week. And so people are sending in absentee ballots. They're voting early in person, and people will be going to the polls next Tuesday. And this organization is sending out flyers attacking one of the four candidates running to be the next state Supreme Court justice for a 10-year term. But we don't know who this organization is.
Because it works. It works. Due diligence is not a hobby of the modern American.
Well, no, you just get a flyer, you see what's on the flyer. You don't check out the organization's name and then go down the rabbit hole. But in this case, Corinne Hess at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is doing some reporting on this organization. Nicole Zorn, director of Safe Families for Children Wisconsin, had no idea the flyer existed until Friday when she started getting calls and emails from people around the state asking why the organization was attacking Doral. Quote, "I was taken aback," Zorn said. "This week, more messages continued, and then a second mailer came out with our name on it. We don't have any political affiliations. We support children and families in Wisconsin." Zorn planned to file a cease and desist order, but could only track down the UPS store. So she can't even, the director for this organization that has a similar name here in Wisconsin, can't even track down who's sending out these flyers because the flyers are tied to a UPS store in a city that's not even located in this state.
Time to post up. You know, old-fashioned stakeout. Get some donuts, get some coffee. You know,
you think that's going to be what's required to get a cease and desist order? How is it going to how will it come about? Who is actually behind Safe Families Wisconsin?
Okay, I got it. We send to this UPS store. We send a notice that they've won a free boat. Okay, you've won a boat. Congratulations. You know, so they'll know it.
My question is this a dirty political trick or is this politics as usual?
No difference.
No difference?
Yeah, I maintain. This is the same thing. It's relying on this lack of due diligence that people might see an association, and that's all they need. You know, they'll put it out of their mind. Oh, yeah, I've heard of those guys. They won't check on it.
And that's it? No, they won't check on it.
That's right. And yeah. They're not even based in Wisconsin.
No, and this is the excellent reporting by Corinne Hess at the Journal Sentinel. Talks about what Safe Families for Children is. And Safe Families for Children is a nonprofit organization founded in 2003 in Chicago that works to keep children out of the foster care system. Zorn said 70% of children that go into foster care are there because of neglect, not abuse. Quote, "Our goal is to surround families with a caring and compassionate community of extended family-like support in order to build strong and resilient families," Zorn said. So this organization that goes and works to try to divert children from the foster care system is now being used as this political front to send out flyers with a similar sounding name attacking Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro.
I give it 1 in 75 that it's a coincidence. I mean, at the end of the day, name has no affiliation with the cause. That's the thing that sort of gets me, that it's intentional.
Yeah. And the organization that Zorn works for says they do not get into politics. They prefer to work with all sides of the aisle. Reading from a quote, again, in this Corinne Hess piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this piece dropping earlier this afternoon. and talking about how Jennifer Doro is being attacked in these flyers by a ambiguous sounding name. And Evan, maybe if we didn't have a political party here in our state that just relaxed campaign finance laws, that just relaxed how organizations can be affiliated with but not work in concert with these different candidacies, maybe we could have some stronger laws and say, well, for you to be able to send out political ads like this, you have to register them, or you have to say and put in writing where these organizations are operating from, rather than just putting an address that it's sure. a UPS store in Chicago.
You're missing an important point,
Luke. And what's that, Evan?
We wouldn't be able to do this anymore if we regulated the practice.
It would prevent things like this from happening.
And that's a tragedy.
For some people, I think it would be a tragedy. For this nonprofit that's trying to do excellent work, like diverting children from the foster care system and keeping them in strong families, they are now burdened with having to take these questions from individuals in Wisconsin trying to find out why they're getting politically involved with this state Supreme Court race, or try to find where this organization that's using a name similar to theirs is operating from, so they can actually send a cease and desist letter, because that's not even possible with the way that it's currently set up. And so this is a pretty interesting story. I think it may not, I don't know how it's going to get resolved. The spring primary, 6 days away. I don't know how something like this, like you said, a dirty political trick or politics as usual, it's kind of one and the same, especially when it gets this close to a primary election.
I'm telling you, you won a boat. Congratulations. Come pick up your boat and we'll figure
offer out. Expires within 6 days, though.
Love it. Love it. Yes. And we'll figure it out. We'll get them.
Oh, it's going to be very interesting. We've got some spending limit numbers, or not limit, just spending records being set. We'll get to those, as well as some of the policy proposals the Evers administration is seeking to include in this upcoming biennial budget to kick off Governor Tony Evers' second term as Wisconsin's governor. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We're also going to be joined by Becky Cooper, owner of Bounce Milwaukee, at 2:30 to discuss the Day of Action that Main Street Alliance put on earlier this week. Again, Main Street Alliance organizing small businesses here in Wisconsin, an alternative to the business lobby like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. So really looking forward to that conversation with Becky. Again, this is Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break.
Congratulations on the boat.
Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also tweet us a tangent at Dueling Tangents. Let's head over to the phone lines. We got Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind on this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I'm no fan of Doros at all, but I mean, this is just ridiculous. They should have a name at least attached to them. And I would give them the name Cowards Anonymous.
Yeah, but if they were Cowards Anonymous, would they actually? I mean, what if we had Cowards Anonymous have to be required by the state to register a in-state address and point of contact for being able to send things out like this, Dick?
You would think that's the least of it, but I had a different rant on a national thing that happened today.
Yeah, go ahead. We love tangents here.
Do you like the situation? I love it. With Jack Smith's latest, when they want this client privilege thing, and that's why they can't speak to you, being Trump's attorneys. You've seen what he did. I love it. No, that doesn't pertain to when you're talking about crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, attorney-client privilege and executive privilege are not supposed to cover criminal activity. There. Yeah.
You would think that would be pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that this is the route he's going. Somebody's got to start playing hardball with that whole cabal of Trump's criminals.
Well, therein lives the rub, you know? You don't know it's criminal if it's privileged. That's the problem.
It's impossible to find out.
Well, is it possible it's privileged criminality?
No. It's legally speaking, it should not be privileged information then, but it is a runaround that has been going on for far too long, Dick. And we're waiting for Merrick Garland Day around here. We've been waiting for Merrick Garland Day for a while, and he's kind of passed the ball on some things, but there's still plenty of things that I think can be done. It just is a shame that the Justice Department wants to seem so apolitical because of how political the Trump Justice Department got, that they're just dragging their feet here to try to prevent the appearance of any political persuasion.
I'm on to Jack Smith Day, personally.
You want a Jack Smith Day? That's fine. Yeah. I'll take a Jack Smith Day.
I got my shirts on the way. Shirts and the press, they're headed in.
Look at that, man. You're on top of it. Appreciate your phone call, Dick. If you want to be like Dick, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us. And it's going to be an interesting budget address tonight. Evan, you plan on tuning in, listening to that one?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be dry, boring, just the way I like my political events.
That's how most government actions, I feel like, should be. It shouldn't be, I have to tune into this speech to see the terrible thing that this person's going to say.
This train wreck that I can't look away from.
Yeah. It shouldn't be like that. So I'm hoping that there's some routine. And Tony Evers has displayed that throughout his first term, throughout both his original campaign to defeat Scott Walker and his reelection campaign defeating Tim Michaels. He's shown that he brings a little bit of a boring to politics that's desired almost. It's like, oh, okay, we could trust this gentleman to deliver for Wisconsin by cutting middle class taxes by $1.2 billion, investing resources into our education system to continue to make the state competitive and address problems like a teacher's shortage, or as Dr. Tim Slecker likes to refer to it as, a teacher's exodus. You can check out Busted Pencils across civic media on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m.
The fact that I can rely on there being a couple holy mackerels, maybe a polka joke or two.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be great.
And that is the liveliest aspect of the speech, is when he says holy mackerel, or says, all right, now let's finish the polka and get down to work.
Let's get to work, folks.
Oh, I always love a good folks in there. So it's definitely that will be included tonight. But some of the other aspects included in Governor Tony Evers' budget. One that we did not get to yesterday was the millions proposed to overhaul roadways, expand driver's ed, and make an effort to combat reckless driving, which has been a huge problem in southeastern Wisconsin. And so it's definitely good to see, again, the governor seems to be listening to the desires and needs from his constituents. He's not just going behind a closed door and working with conservative attorneys to do the utmost damage that Robin Voss and at the time Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald was doing to enact policy in Wisconsin with things ranging from the gerrymandered maps to a whole heck of a lot of other things. The fact that the Evers administration is going on these listening tours and then coming up with these proposals, it shows that he's trying to deliver after listening to what the desires are of Wisconsinites. And so it's going to be hopefully a boring address. I'm hoping that we can get back to a little bit more semblance of boring that is important, but it's not that it's unimportant. It's not unimportant boring. It's just boring because it's routine and it's good governance.
Business as usual. I like a little of that.
That's what we're looking for. And so this budget, as Evers has alluded to, is going to be a once-in-a-generation chance to take the $7 billion surplus that the state has and make some transformative changes by investing in our schools, in our roads, working to address problems that are looming, like the worker shortage that is going to be upon the state at the end of this decade. And so there are many, many things that can be done with a $7 billion surplus. Cutting taxes for the wealthiest Wisconsinites by creating something like a flat tax doesn't deliver those things. So really looking forward to the budget address, seeing what else is all included in it this evening. Evers administration going to be giving that budget address tonight. Coming up next, we've got Becky Cooper joining us, from owner of Bounce Milwaukee and member of the leadership team for Main Street Alliance, talking about Main Street Alliance's Day of Action from earlier this week. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
A mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
Holy mackerel, folks.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in Madison on Mad Radio, the Shaw in Waukesha, and all around the state on your local civic media radio station. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, head over to the website civicmedia.us. You can sign up to learn more and find out, be in the know of where the next civic media station may be popping up near you. And now I am joined by Becky Cooper, owner of Bounce Milwaukee and member of the leadership team for Wisconsin's chapter of Main Street Alliance. Becky, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing great. Waiting for this snow to come in, though. So we'll see in 24 hours with how the answer is.
I saw 8 inches potentially in the forecast, and I was like, please don't do that to us this week still. Like, oh, I saw that, and I'm just really hoping that's not going to be the case.
I like snow. I don't need all that at once, though.
Yeah, I think 2 to 3 inches at a time, that's totally fine. But when 8 inches of snow, that's when everybody, like, just kind of batten down the hatches and just doesn't want to go anywhere. It's a very interesting dynamic, I feel like, this year with the remote capabilities everybody got set up during the pandemic. Snow days for adults is kind of a thing now, and that is kind of an interesting dynamic to it, though.
Definitely. Yeah. If you've got have the luxury to do that, that's a great thing. Right?
Yeah. It's an interesting one where all of a sudden you see in the internal chats for the organization, it's like, oh, well, I think today might just be a snow day for me. But work from home does allow that flexibility, and it is a nice alternative. Hopefully it won't be necessary tomorrow and we avoid the 8 inches of snow. I'm hopeful. I'm just putting it out in the universe. That doesn't need to happen. But you're joining us this Wednesday afternoon because earlier this week, Main Street Alliance put on a day of action. And Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance had joined us last month telling us a little bit about the day of action, preparing for it. And I'm just curious, how did things go on Monday afternoon or Monday throughout the day?
Yeah, it was fantastic. We had 100 different business owners registered to come and take part in the day of action. We had something like 40 or 45 meetings with different legislators to share our vision as small business owners and the goals of Main Street Alliance. So it's amazing what Main Street Alliance has done in the last couple of years. It started with just 4 member businesses and now up to, I believe, 1,200 different member businesses and allies. Representing 10,000 employees. So it's exponential growth in just a few years. So it's really good to have a voice for real small business owners.
Yeah, because for a really long time, that voice was not present here in Wisconsin because the traditional business lobbyists decide to go in a different direction when it comes to the views that we hear at Civic Media, and I think Bounce Milwaukee tend to view, I'll just go out and say it, Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce doesn't necessarily represent all businesses. And even though they're the largest business lobby in the state, there was a very large vacuum for advocacy for business owners that share a different worldview than Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce.
I think that small business owners have different priorities than the larger employers, and people who are just trying to make a larger profit without a whole lot of concern for the human aspect of things. So, but the nice thing is that, you know, I have my personal views and everything, but as Main Street Alliance, I think the issues that Main Street Alliance champions are issues that are bipartisan. I think, you know, Republicans and Democrats really want small businesses to succeed. I think we all want, you know, great family supporting jobs. I think we all want Wisconsin to be an innovation and economic leader. And the policies that we are advocating for as members of Main Street Alliance really speak to those things that would benefit the state as a whole, regardless of your politics. So the things we were really focusing on was expansion of badger care, which Wisconsin is one of only 10 states that has not accepted federal money to expand our public health care.
And that's kind of dollars. Yeah, that's a very large investment that we could receive by expanding it. But that's something that red states and blue states alike around the country have taken part in. I believe Oklahoma and Wyoming and Utah have expanded their Medicaid options, or what we refer to as Badger Care here in Wisconsin. Those states have gone and taken that expansion and used it to be able to deliver those federal funds for individuals that need them. And so that's not, as you pointed out, that's not necessarily a conservative or a liberal or progressive thing to do. That's just a wise thing to do as a state, to take those funds available and be able to deliver results.
It's sort of ridiculous that, you know, we would receive a huge amount of additional money from the federal government, $1 billion, and we could insure 100,000 additional people. And that money from the federal government does not have to be used on healthcare. We can use that on infrastructure. We could use that, not my idea, but we could use it on tax cuts. We could use it on small business investment. We could use it on anything we want, but we're denying getting that federal income. And that's just absurd to me. So we're also, you know, losing out on the healthcare benefits that would really, you know, it would help people like me, it would help my employees and just a huge number of people across the state. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, so, and that is a burden that if the Badger Care was expanded, preventing those costs from having to be spent on healthcare would be transformative for, I imagine, small business owners as well in that regard. But that's not the only policy proposal that Main Street Alliance was focused on for its day of action this past Monday. What are the other proposals that the organization is seeking to promote here in Wisconsin as well?
Sure. Investment in childcare is another big one. We all know how important it is to have good quality childcare. You know, I talked to someone this week on Monday who there was a factory up north that ended up shutting down for a full week because there was one childcare facility in that town. The owner had a heart attack and had to shut down, and nobody who worked in this factory had childcare. So it literally brought operations to a halt. If we can ensure that we are funding childcare, properly compensating childcare providers, and taking some of the burden off of parents so that it's more affordable for us as well, this makes everything easier for everybody involved in the system: business owners, parents, childcare providers, everybody. And then paid leave. Paid leave is, you know, with the pandemic, this brought such a spotlight to the importance of having leave. So many people were going to work when they were sick, and this pandemic spread and spread and spread because people didn't have the option to stay mm-hmm. home. They had to choose between their health and being able to pay their bills. It really threw in a sharp relief the importance of something like that, but that isn't totally affordable for every small business employer. I provide paid leave to my employees. I know many other excellent small business owners who do, but it isn't doable for everybody. And for those of us who do, it's expensive and it's challenging. And having something like paid leave as a state policy evens the playing field between my business and the Chuck E. Cheese's and Applebee's and McDonald's of the world, so that we're all expected to be doing the same thing and all providing for our employees in that way.
Yeah, having a baseline like that just seems like the best way to address shortages. Like employees just being forced to go and continue to work if not having that safety net, but also then as employers having a workforce that is able to take the time off and get better and improve and be able to come back to work refreshed if that leave is necessary. And so the day of action, more than 100 members got together for Main Street Alliance. What are the next steps for where the organization would like to go with how things went on Monday?
Yeah, I think we had some really excellent conversations, and legislators seemed really receptive to, you know, the different ideas and the importance of these policies. We all got to share our stories in terms of real world, how this affects real people like us. Seeing the astronomical growth of Main Street Alliance over the last couple of years, it really shows how vital it is for small business owners to have a voice that can, you know, highlight our real needs. As you pointed out earlier, manufacturers maybe aren't in the same boat as we are. So growing the membership of the organization so that we can increase and amplify those voices and get all of those stories. I would encourage people that if they want to get involved, they can go to mainstreetalliance.org and help both share their stories on these policies that already exist, but also start shaping the vision for the future. It's exciting to see some of the things that are in Governor Evers' budget, and I'm hopeful that many of those things will stay in there as it enters into this negotiation phase, and we'll see how things go from there.
That is exactly what I was going to bring up, was how individuals who may be hearing about Main Street Alliance for the first time could learn more. So that's great. MainStreetAlliance.org is the website. And it is going to be, I think, an interesting budget cycle. This is after the re-election of Governor Tony Evers. It seems like from different lawmakers around the state that there is an interest from both parties, the legislature and the governor's office, to kind of have a little bit of a reset. There was a lot of face-offs, essentially, during the first term. There was a little obstructionism, I would say, with not the proper timely appointments for the governor on some of the boards, like the Natural Resources Board. And it seems to be that both sides want to do a reset and find agreeance on these issues. And the best way, in my opinion, that we can see that as individuals that want to see policy proposals get implemented, like expanding Badger Care, paid leave programs, and making childcare more accessible and affordable, that the only way that those things will be included in the in the hopeful agreements that the legislature and the governor will have in this budget process is if they're hearing from people like business owners, like citizens that are just want to be involved in this process. And that's really how I found out about Main Street Alliance, following along with what Sean was doing and the great work of providing that voice. It is the stories and communicating those stories to our lawmakers that helps get the initiatives we want to see implemented into that budget process. So for small business owners that may be hearing about Main Street Alliance for the first time, they can get involved at the website. What about just individuals that want to see some of these policies get enacted as well, but aren't necessarily a business owner? How can they get involved during the process and with Main Street Alliance?
Sure. There are many non-business owners who are ally members of Main Street Alliance, so I would absolutely encourage them to follow along. Obviously, small businesses are the heart of the community. They create the personality for our towns. And it's really vital that we continue to support them, especially as we're, you know, continuing through this pandemic. The other thing I would say is if you support those goals or any other goals, reach out to your legislators and let them know. I believe that this is important because it impacts these businesses in our town. It impacts my life personally. Because like I said, a lot of these are bipartisan issues. We all want Wisconsin to succeed. and we're tired of having a government that cannot function because of that obstructionism and disagreement. So it's really on us to reach out and share that vision.
Absolutely. And really appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday afternoon, updating us with how the day of action went. One more time, let's share the website for the listeners out there if they want to get involved as a small business owner or just an individual that wants to see Main Street Alliance succeed. What's the website? One more time.
That is mainstreetalliance.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Becky. Really appreciate you joining me on this conversation. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue discussing some of those policy proposals that the Evers administration has put out that may be in this evening's speech a little bit later. Thank you again, Becky. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. If you want to share a tangent with me in this final segment, 844-967-2789. I want to thank again Becky Cooper, co-owner of Bounce Milwaukee and member of the leadership team with Main Street Alliance, an excellent organization working to elevate small business voices here in the state of Wisconsin and enact policy changes that would make a difference for a lot of small business owners and individuals in their communities. If you want to find more out about Main Street Alliance, go to the website mainstreetalliance.org and you can see everything that they're working on as well as take action with their organization. So one of the things we covered yesterday with the proposal that the Evers administration announced for how he would like to invest part of the historic surplus that the state currently has in K-12 education. We got a top line number yesterday as we jumped on the air, but we didn't necessarily get the chance to delve into what's all included with that $2.6 billion investment into K-12 education. And thankfully, the good folks over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rory Linane, put together 8 things that you need to know from Governor Evers' plan for K-12 public and private schools. So 8 different points. We're going to run through these quickly here while we're running out of time. But again, if you want to share a tangent, you can take us off our train of thought. 844-967-2789. The first aspect for the 8 highlights outlined here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is that schools could spend $1,000 more per student over the next 2 years, with $350 more per student in 2023 to 2024 school year, and $650 more the following year under Evers' proposal that would increase per pupil spending by $1,000. Point number 2 in the highlights, Evers would stop new enrollment in voucher programs. This one, I have a feeling, Evan, is going to hit the chopping room floor pretty quickly, because this stands pretty much directly opposed to where the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature stand on the issue. They want to create an entirely secondary system and expand voucher schools for all. So I have a feeling this one, putting a freeze on the voucher program, isn't going to make its way in, but it is included in Evers' proposal.
Why don't you choose a safer bet, Luke? You know? I'm glad we're not there's no money on the table here.
Right? That's a gimme one. I don't know if the House would let you bet on that one even, because the odds were pretty favorable that one would be removed. The third highlight written up by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Evers says the state must build teacher supply. Wisconsin school districts have been hurting for teachers, and recent national surveys have found teachers are feeling more burnt out and unhappy with their compensation than in prior years. Evers wants to use $5 million to support, quote, grow your own programs, which would help school staff earn high higher ed degrees, $9 million for stipends for student teachers, and $2 million for stipends for teachers who agree to help train student teachers. So again, investing in a very critical problem here of the teacher shortage.
There's some crazy programs out there. And not to like do another plug, but check out Busted Pencils. This last few weeks has been sort of dedicated to this road to being a teacher, right?
Yeah.
You don't have money, you don't have the time or inclination to start, you know, that new path to a career.
Well, and during the pandemic, like,
you can
do
it for free. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's excellent programs out there. I highly recommend Busted Pencils. I got the opportunity to produce that show for a little while in my various roles here at Civic Media. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, fantastic gentlemen, really bring excellent conversations to the airwaves. Busted Pencils airs across Civic Media at 7 p.m. on Tuesday evenings, but you can always go check out the podcasts on the website, civicmedia.us. You can go to shows, check out Busted Pencils. But the ability to grow our own and address that teacher shortage is something that we can do and take action on. Cutting taxes is not just going to automatically attract more teachers. Like, that will be the Republican response. It's like, oh, just make it cheaper to live here by cutting taxes and we'll attract more people. Well, Republicans have been doing that a lot since 2010, and the problem's only gotten worse since then. So let's not act like that's a true way to address that crisis. The fourth highlight in the Journal Sentinel piece is that schools could tap funds to change racist mascots. Evers would budget $200,000 per year for grants to schools that are incurring expenses as they move away from racist mascots and logos. Feel like that's kind of just a no-brainer here in 2023. If the mascot is questionable, it should just, there are so many different options out there. Like, go pick a different mascot. Come on.
I grew up in a town with one of them.
Did you?
Yeah, Fort Atkinson Blackhawks.
Yeah?
Nice. I mean, it's beautiful logo, a lot of good heritage there, and I feel like we did do it justice, but still.
We're the Knights. I don't think anybody in London or England was upset that my high school mascot was a knight. It's a no-brainer. If the mascot's a racist and there are groups that believe that it needs to be removed, go through the process of removing those. The Evers budget, including some funds to address those. Every district would have a full-time mental health professional under the Evers proposal. This, I feel like, needs to be the top line one. Come on, this should be highlight numero uno, if not right behind the $1,000 increase for per pupil spending. It should be right there because mental health professionals in our schools should be a resource that our students have. And every school would have naloxone. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Evan, but it's the drug that
naloxone.
It's in case of opioid overdoses. 0.7 would be school meals would be free, and 0.8 would be Evers targeting literacy, computer science, and driver's ed. So including programs that would expand all three of those areas across Wisconsin K through 12 education in order to address those various fields. So a lot of excellent points. The highlights to take away from the $2.6 billion investment the Evers administration would like to make in K through 12 education, I think could make a really big difference in the way the education system works here in Wisconsin. If you want to talk about ways to address the state and how we can make the state more attractive for people to move here and address the workforce shortage that we are going to have by 2030 of 130,000 workers, we need to be able to address our schools, because if our schools are not flourishing, why would a young family that has to send their kids to these schools want to move here? Like, there are so many different aspects of Wisconsin life that can be improved and tweaked upon to make it more of an attractive state and to convince individuals to come and raise a family, start a life here, and contribute to the workforce so that we don't have that worker shortage by 2030. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Budget address tonight by the Evers administration. Going to be joined by William Walter tomorrow. It's going to be Wednesdays with Will on a Thursday, hoping that he'll help us keep the snow away. But you'll have to tune in to find out at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.